A few weeks ago, I had an idea for this message. I thought I'd work through the popular Christmas carols, some of the ones that we'd sung tonight, and that I'd rip them apart. I confess it was an idea I was going to steal from someone else, but I thought I'd spend my time pointing out the bits where they aren't quite true to the real Christmas story, where they embellish things a little bit, make stuff up, or where sometimes they're just plain silly. I thought it would be a really clever thing to do. It would sit well with my dry and somewhat sarcastic sense of humour. And, oh, he's laughing over there. And also, there's somewhere in there was a point to be made about getting back to the real Christmas story and how all sorts of aspects of our celebrations and the things we do at Christmas aren't really anything to do with what Christmas is really about. But genuinely, as I sat down to write it, I had a change of heart. I thought perhaps there's enough negativity in the world. Perhaps there's enough places where we're tearing each other apart, declaring that we don't have confidence in one another, infighting, outfighting, and sometimes just catfighting. A world that generally sends us the message over and over again that we're not successful enough, not pretty enough, not rich enough, or just not good enough. Did I really want to rip apart Christmas carols as well? So I set about trying to look for the good, trying to see the places where actually we can agree with the things that we've just been singing, where the Christmas story is really revealed, and where we find a true picture of who God is and what he's done for us in Jesus Christ. We began by singing O Come, Emmanuel, which is traditionally an Advent carol. It's full of the angst of people who are waiting for a saviour to come. We sang things about a rod of Jesse and a key of David. Those things point us to Old Testament prophecies of Jesus Christ. The carol begins with, "Until the Son of God appears." And it reminds us that though we look back and we remember what's happened, we began with prophecies from Isaiah about the virgin conceiving and giving birth to a son. And those words took something over 800 years to be fulfilled. It was hundreds of years after those words were written that we come to Matthew's Gospel, where we read about one being called Emmanuel, God with us. Sometimes it seems like it can take a long time to see that God is at work. But he's not slow in keeping his promises. Actually, he's patient with us. But somewhere in the midst of that, we might discover what it is he's been doing all along. The little town of Bethlehem is, of course, based as well on some of those prophecies about Jesus' birth. Jesus, it was prophesied over 700 years before he was born, that he would be born in Bethlehem. And we heard those words from Micah chapter 5. The author of that carol, in fact, was inspired to write it by visiting Bethlehem itself. And it reminds us something of all those prophecies about Jesus that were fulfilled in his birth and his life. Somewhere deep into that carol, we also sang these words. "But in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in." We're reminded of the importance of those fulfilled prophecies about Jesus Christ, that beyond the tiny village of Bethlehem, long after he was born, in fact, long after he died and rose again, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and souls would still and continue to still find freedom in what began in that small situation in an animal's feeding trough. Jesus still enters into our lives today. Away in a manger reminds us of that animal's feeding trough when it comes to remembering what Christmas is about, that he's Emmanuel, God with us. It reminds us of Jesus' birth, his birth amongst dire circumstances. But Jesus had a humble birth. It was unpredictable. It was unexpected. And yet this was always God's plan. Part of the carol is a prayer. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay. This is the essence of the incarnation, that God would come near to us, that he came to be with us, and he will still be near us today. It talks too about stars looking down on Jesus, but also Jesus looking down from the sky. A reminder that Jesus is in heaven, that he sits at the right hand of the Father. But this one who was born into humiliatingly humble circumstances, is the one who's been exalted as the King of Kings. We sang about angels from the realms of glory. That whole carol is a call to worship, that absolutely everybody should come and worship Jesus. From the angels of heaven proclaiming his birth, to the shepherds in the field, to the wise men. So from heavenly beings, to the poor, the marginalised shepherds, to the wise men, the intelligent, the significant, the wealthy, that all should come and worship. One version of the chorus of the carol is, in fact, come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. And the saints, in the final verse of that carol, are people like us. Those watching in hope and sometimes fear. It's the invitation to come and worship Christ the King. Those people we read of in the story, the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, those who come and worship Jesus, they're meant to point us that we might do the same. Unto us is born a son. It's full of truth from the Christmas story. I don't think there's many carols that are willing to delve into even the difficult bits of the Christmas narrative and go quite as far as making a reference to Herod in the same way. All the little boys he killed at Bethlehem in his fury. Of course, it reminds us of the reality of the world into which Jesus was born. A world of tyrants, murder, power, and fear. A world where it's hard to guarantee any kind of security or certainty about the future, political or otherwise. As we look around the world today, perhaps we might feel that little has changed. But it reminds us again of who Jesus really is. That this boy born, this baby, is the King of all creation. The one who was there at the creation of the world. He was God and with God in the very beginning. And that this humble baby, in fact, is no mere baby, but the one who is rightfully the Lord of every nation. The one who can rightfully challenge the tyrants and the terribles, even the strong and the stables. Shortly we're going to sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, we learn that only through the newborn King can God and sinners be reconciled. We're also reminded that Jesus, being God, took on human flesh. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. These are words that echo what the Apostle Paul wrote, that there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the Lord Jesus Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. That in Christ God provides a way of salvation for those who deserve nothing more than God's condemnation. So what will you do with Jesus Christ this Christmas season? Will you ignore him? Will you dismiss him? Will you sing the songs that we've been singing without really thinking of the words? Or will you submit to him for who he truly is? No longer a baby born in an animal's feeding trough, but the risen and exalted Son of God, who died for sin and rose again and sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Jesus, who himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Part of the uncomfortable truth, not just in the Christmas story, but in the Bible itself, is that in it we have to recognize that actually we're not good enough. That for all our best intentions, for the positive light we might try and view ourselves in, we fail to live as we should. Jesus offers us the way to a different life, to a new life in him. In this world of negativity, of criticism, of fear and of doubt, a world which so often pulls us down, will we recognise not just our need of a saviour, not just our need of help, but that he's come in Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God with flesh on? And will we look again and see that even in a world as broken as ours, and to people as broken as us, God says, you're worth my son. You're worth me coming and walking on earth. The Christmas story is a message of hope, that God hasn't given up on the world or given up on you or me. That he can bring his truth even through carols written hundreds of years ago and rife with randomness. He's willing to get up and close and personal with the mess of it all. He's a redeeming God who can take the broken and make it whole. Take people who are far away and make them part of his family. Take a people who are walking in darkness and bring them into his light. Our final reading comes from John chapter 1, and it reminds us just of what God does for us in Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Will we ignore this truth? Will we let it pass us by? Or will we look again in wonder at what God has done for us?